Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we expect the coming of the Lord very, very soon now. The whole world tells us, circumstances, the signs of the times, everything tells us the coming of our King is at hand. Therefore, we must be ready. Therefore, we must prepare ourselves every single day to meet the Lord and give glory to you. We pray that you bless your word today and bless your people today and fulfill every need as we touch on the restoration of all things in our lives. Indeed, it is so too. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you for every seed that you've sown into the kingdom of God. I don't take it lightly. I think it's very important because upon it depends that people would have also the blessing of the Lord upon them. And for this cause, we pray that you would have the blessing of the Lord every day of your life. Good to see a big crowd here this morning in the first service. Normally this time of the year, second service, same thing happens. And in fact, I think possibly even more people than now. So with that being said, I was just captured by something I want to talk about and then get into this sermon. But a thought that I just read, I don't know who the author is, but it says these things. We consider our own country and we pray for our country. The prayer every day of the week is now happening. And so every district takes turn to pray. There's a 40-day pray for the nation, pray for the upcoming elections that are now closing in on us. And not so many days from here, the nation goes to vote. And this is a key election, if ever there was one since 1994 indeed. And so with that being said, we pray Saturday mornings. A lot of people praying with me on Saturday mornings and with a pastoral team, whatever the case may be. But we're a lot of people and we do it even on live. It's on the internet. You can just go in at 7:30 to 8:30 if you can't make it to get to church. I've just written this down because I picked it up and I don't know who the author is. But hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. I read it a second time just for the sake of you getting this, because I think it's beautiful. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. May God give us in the coming election some strong men to lead the nation forward into a state of restoration, because we really need this nation restored. Can you say amen? Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering for that. Hallelujah. I want to go to Acts chapter number 3 and 19. I want to tell you something. This here passage of scripture is so loaded that I could linger on this portion alone for the morning. But I have more to say. So let's see where we end with all of this and enjoy the morning together. And I need to say, while you're turning there, another thing we take serious, we have been phoning everybody. We've been in touch. I told you sometime by we want to have a pastoral system second to none to take care of our people. I also want to change the name of Home Cells and discard that thing because it ever bothered me. It's a foreign statement, Home Cell. But in the days when I just got filled with the Holy Spirit, we went up then, we had home fellowships, the Pentecostals, the people full of the Holy Spirit, Christians everywhere had home fellowships. And I would like to say home fellowships. And that, I used to go to that. That's where I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I used to love to go to the home fellowship. And there's a bunch of Christians there together. We sing songs together. I remember we had a little songbook that we had in that particular house up there in the house of a magistrate out there in Northcliff in Johannesburg. And we used to sing together. And then afterwards we'd go to his lounge and stand in the lounge and talk to each other and drink coffee and tea and a cold drink or whatever before we departed. And there was cake on the table and we just enjoyed it so much. He used to take turns in providing cake if there was cake. And then we used to sit down around a table, and on this table we looked at the Word of God, we discussed, and people gave their opinion, and we just had such a happy time together. And you know, at the end of it, I heard the kettle coming on in the kitchen there at the house of the Van der Bergs in those days. And I just remember one day they said to me, I started talking in tongues by the table, said, Harold's been filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I was. And then I was baptized. What I want to say, two things. These prayer cards, along with the home fellowships, these prayer cards are imperative. To me, it's important. We phoned everybody with a prayer card and registered and told them, we're now praying for this, that, the other. And I have a team of pastors who are working around the clock and communicating with all the people of all the districts. For me, it's impossible to get to everybody. But this is very important because this contains the heart faith of people, what they believe in God for. If you haven't filled in one, go to the information counter and fill in one and drop it in the basket, or on Saturday morning, bring it with to the prayer. And then the other thing is, I mentioned those cells out there in, it was not a cell, it was a home fellowship. I went to several of them, not just one. I remember at least three. And funny enough, the other one was at Doerke and Louise Biechemann's house. We got together there before I went to the West Rand. There sits Pastor Louis, still in the back, always faithful, him and Doerke. They've been here since the days of Noah. They can tell you exactly what Noah said when he got out of the ark. Amen. Well, I love people like that, him and Doerke and also Tiens and Karen Blom. Those people have gone deep tracks in this church, and I will forever honor them for that. And we had the fellowship there. I remember going and fellowshipping out there in the area there of Horizon, and then, of course, another one out in Northcliff. We had fellowships. We just got together. Now we need to get back to that, because so the church goes from house to house. Can you say amen? And in the temple, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. You need to get excited about these things. So I'm now in one of the home fellowships, and I'm sitting there and enjoying the Christians around me. They're asking questions. I find it so interesting. They're all saying, and there's something to say, and I'm just listening to it, and sometimes say to me, Pastor, you say something, and if I say something, whoops, I must be careful, I talk too much. I'm a preacher, and I start quoting scriptures and things. Well, now, with that being said, the other thing is, at that home fellowship out there in Northcliff, I was reminded of the fact, in fact, I was confronted. You know, those Pentecostals, they confronted me and said, Hoekom is jy nog nie gedoop nie, broer Boedi? Luister nou, young man. And then I was a young man. I still feel like a young man, you know. You know, it's like Dr. Nabor always said, and I feel exactly the same. He says, I'm an 80-year-old man living in an 80-year-old body, but with a 21-year-old brain. And I thought to myself, yeah, no, that's not my net more good at this, you know. You just, your mind is highly active, and you're thinking the Word, you're in the Word, but age creeps up on us. In those days, young man, there was Dr. Besaidnoot, a lecturer formerly from Stellenbosch University, Dr. Hans Jonker, another lecturer, and there were the pastors there at that time, Dr. Werner Krier, and these guys got a hold of me, and they said to me, staan jy nou in hierdie hoek hier tussen ons, en dan vertel jy nou vir ons why you were not baptized. And then I said, the one was the Greek and the Hebrew teacher when we went to theological college, Doc Bess. And Doc Besaidnoot said, luister jong man, I was your age. I researched the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I found the Holy Spirit, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I had myself properly baptized because I know Greek and exactly what it says, and I had to do what it says. I was baptized, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and now I'm here, I'm a lecturer, you explain to me from either Greek or Hebrew, anything you like, why you're not baptized. And I followed the Lord Jesus. Died and da. Never to be the same ever again. Out of the baptismal pool of those days came the senior pastor of today. What will happen to you if you baptize and you find yourself now rid of the old crucified man in the liberty of the children of God, filled with the Spirit? You might wind up in Bible school and be the next Billy Graham of tomorrow or Oral Roberts. Who knows? The destiny is wide open. So I think there's a baptism tonight. If you want to be baptized, I just bring an extra set of clothing. You haven't got that, then you can even help you with that. Also, nog hulle handdoek ook hier vir jou. Amen. George, they may not go home wrapped in a towel. But tonight will be just the right opportunity. Come here tonight and see what happens. In fact, tonight, I won't go in because I've got to preach, but I'll go stand there by the pool and help the people to put their heads under the water. So that when your head comes down under the water, like Pastor Pierre de la Rue said, lift your hands above your head. Lift your hands above what your brain is thinking. Just lift it right now. Stick your hand up. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise out for you, everybody. Amen. Amen. Inside of you, you think, well, you know, no, this, you know, what will people think of me? I am the most important man on the West Rand. And I'm a Secret Service Christian. See there? 00 nothing. 00 something. That has got to die. All pride and prejudice and nonsense of this year. Pastor P. De La Rue said, do that to the Lord. I agree with that. I agree with that. We suffered from spiritual arthritis in those days. You know, when you come in from one of the mainline churches, you go into church like this. And you have all these people filled with the Spirit. They go, and you look at this, and there's just something about someone. Filled with the Holy Ghost. There is the anointing that breaks the yoke on the spot. There's a baptismal pool creating a point of no return to an old life. There is a change that takes place here. Now the mind must be restored and renewed. Can you say amen? Now give the Lord a proper praise offering. You want to be baptized tonight? Come. If you don't know how, don't worry. I'm going to stand there and I'm going to put my hand on your head to help you go under the water so that your mind after that be renewed by the power of the resurrection life which is in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Give the Lord a proper. If you don't, not just one. Just start a bikkie op hier vir 'n slag. Praise God now and praise Him. Praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. Give the Lord a good praise offering, everybody. Shout hallelujah. Amen. And then times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So Acts 3 verse 19 says, I'm going to talk about the God of restoration, in this case of your own life. But I want you to put your own life in here. I want to say God is talking to you here. This is a scripture for you, that you can apply this to you. Because if I look at restoration, let me just give you a list. I just looked at this and I thought, wow, each one is a sermon on its own. The restoration of your soul, that is your mind. The renewing of the mind. Anakinos is the Greek word for that. And so the soul, salvation, health, your health, the restoration, that's an interesting one. I found some Greek and Hebrew that blew me away on the subject of health, where God says, I will give it health and healing. I will heal your body and restore you. That word restoration, my goodness. Your fortunes, whatever it is, with your funds, your finances, God is the restorer of bad situations in our finances. Dink jy die Here kan jou help met jou geld? Do you think the Lord can help you with your money? Do you think the Holy Spirit give you some wisdom? Do you really think that? Then give him another praise offering today. Hallelujah. Restoration of your family. That's a whole story on itself. The restoration of your marriage. I can preach some on that one. I mean, I could really preach on that one. The restoration of your relationship with God. The restoration after you've endured the storms of life. Restoration from setbacks. Restoration from attacks. Long-time offenses. And walking around with hurts, bitterness and unforgiveness and grief. Restoration after, in this respect, is like restoration by God saving you, the Messiah, from your enemies. By the way, they're not human beings. It's always the devil. Restoration from times of hopelessness. How many times have I stood in front of the church here, walked around Sunday night, the Holy Spirit's moving in the place, and there's a prophetic word, there's somebody here wanting to commit now murder. You're planning to commit murder. Several times it happened to me, and people came out, and we delivered them from abject hopelessness, and all sorts of everything just goes wrong until they can't handle it anymore. They want to take an end to their lives. Suicide is the word for it. Self-destruction. The demons are like that. They work with self-destruction, the human being. So we're living in desperate times. So therefore, Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Now, before I get to this word called restoration, let me say one thing. It's just such a, you know, you think about it, it's just a revelation. Right throughout the Bible, God is busy restoring things for people. Think about it. Your Bible is full of people being restored. Situations being restored. People brought back to a state where they got peace again. Having peace on all sides. The whole Word of God tells you the story of a Messiah that comes and intervenes and walks around. But here's one crucial difference. If you look at that thing from the perspective, okay, Jesus walked around 2,000 years ago in a place called Galilee, and there by the city of Capernaum, Bethsaida and Chorazin, and then of course Jerusalem, and also by Shechem. And he walked around and he was there, and as far as he went, he restored people. But he was in a body. He'd taken on the body of a mere man, that through death he might destroy him. Hebrews chapter 2:14, who had the power over death, which is the devil. Limited to a body, the Bible says, John 3:34, that he had the spirit without measure, the Messiah. Everybody say Messiah. Okay, so he had the spirit without measure, and he could do anything that he wanted to, as he did, the Father showed him, and he did as the Father told him, and whatever the Father showed him, he did exactly that. But when he went to heaven, he came to dwell in your heart now. He converted you in a temple of the Holy Spirit. Very simple. Be baptized. Get rid of your old sin nature. Crucify and bury that old life. Be baptized. Raise up in the newness of life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now God can work with you and use you. He's now within you. So from the Messiah, Mashiach, or if you take the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Messiah meaning the same thing, the anointed one. There comes Christianity from Krio, the root of that word, which is, when you talk about Christians, it is the anointed ones. When God says, do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Do not touch my anointed. The anointing of the Holy Spirit cannot be separated from the Holy Spirit. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I remember in the early days of my Bible school and my theological training that I remember that I had to do a sermon, and my final sermon before exiting my theological training, my final sermon with the students there was, and with the lecturers are being now assessed, was, do not ever grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not use stupid jokes and sayings about the Holy Spirit. You get yourself in big trouble. Big trouble. It sometimes edges towards blasphemous. It's very, very dangerous. People make jokes, lighthearted jokes. And that night I preached. And I preached with such fire. I was so prayed up. It was my final night before the exit. And I preached. I'd hardly gone very far with, do not make jokes about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is inseparable. It is the Holy Spirit that comes. It's called the Shekinah glory, where God comes upon a person, rests his presence upon your life. You call that the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's also the Shekinah glory that comes upon you. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the anointing breaks the yoke. Give the Lord a praise offering now. The anointing breaks the yoke. And I said, don't you joke about that. We pray for days, even years, hours and hours for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Come down, Jesus, into the church. Stretch forth your hand. Grant signs and wonders and miracles. Do it, Lord. Please do it. And somebody jokes. God says, touch not my anointed. Krio, Christians, anointed ones. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul. When the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon you, when the anointing spirit of the Holy Spirit, people look at that, they say anointing, you know, and then it's just like some saying. But they understand that when I say anoint, I might as well say the Holy Spirit. Is one the self same. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you as a spirit-filled Christian wanting to restore your life, we have to cooperate with God that our lives may be restored. You say, how? Let me tell you something. There's a twofold application of the anointing. On the one side, the anointing is that of defense, and the other side of progress. It's like this. It's like the anointing protects you against evil spirits. Randall Bonk used to say, evil spirits flies Beelzebub, which means the Lord of the flies, another name for the devil. The flies never sit on a hot stove. The anointing is there for your defense system. But also the anointing is there when you are confronted by any form of demonic manifestation in whichever way it may come, even through people that are demonized, that become aggressive and all that stuff. The anointing is there to break that yoke. There is authority in the anointing. As we learn, as we go to Pentecost, I believe we're going to have the best Pentecost ever this year. I said, I believe we're going to have the best Pentecost this year. God is busy with the work of restoration on your life. All week long, I've been aware of that. And I said, Lord, at times such as this, what a privilege. What a privilege. 33 years of my life in church. I was a deacon. At the age of 16, I was teaching in Sunday school. Then I became a deacon sitting on a church board. Never knew even about the Holy Spirit. I had to wait till I'm 33 years old and then discover the Holy Spirit and the power of God. I had to get rid of all my old traditions and baggage and customs of men and go into that baptismal pool and die there for once. Bring it in. Render powerless an old sin nature. So after that, we would only produce dead works if you step over the line, you go in the wrong direction. But restoration is a very strange Greek word, that one actually, but a beautiful one. It's the Greek word apokatastasis. Apokatastasis, that's what it is. And if you look at it there as it stands in Scripture, you read it straight from the Greek in this case. You read the Greek. It spells it out, apokatastasis, apokatastasis. What does it mean? It means, and I love this, I've got a dictionary now in front of me here. It means restoration, which can be understood by restoring everything in our lives to perfection, or by analogy, as of the stars in their precise orbits to their starting point. What you also see, I mean, if I go to apokatastasis, what's it now? Now, I don't get that. Now, I'm on platform. You see, when you get on platform and your mind's full of these things. But when it talks about the restoration of all these things, it also means, to return things in your life back to what you would consider really good. Shalom, peace, normal. Back to the intended direction of your life. Everybody say normal. Now, when a thing is normal and life is normal, the word shalom in the Hebrew would mean a complete peace on every side, lacking any form of aggravation or antagonism or disturbance. When you have shalom and you live in that peace of God that passes all over all understanding, okay, it says in Philippians 4 verse 6, it says, be fretful for nothing. Do not worry about anything, but in all things, present your request to God, prayers to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard over your hearts and mind. You get to a state where you're now living in normal avenue. Now, let me just, I must have to say this. In this modern, very, very big world of bondage and sinfulness and perversion, there is another normal, which is not God's normal. Now, might as well say amen. Welcome to Little Falls Christian Centre, No Compromise Christian Centre. Give the Lord a praise offering. God's normal is different. When you return to normal, as with its intended purpose, the stars moving and the planets revolving around the stars, exactly, there's one of the things in physics, astronomy, that I just love. To even try to explain away, that does not sit within man's ability. But there's a creator, the owner, the kurios, the possessor of heaven and earth that walks there and sees all these things that he has created. Planets nicely rounded. You know, all these things in such order. It would be disorder if the earth sped on into open space. There is an intended orbit for the earth. There is an intended point for you in your life. God wants to bring you back to normal, a normal house, a normal family life, a normal financial situation, everything in financial integrity. God wants to bring you out from all kinds of bondage and addictions back to normal. The God of restoration. Give the Lord a praise offering. The God of restoration. I have to split the sermon in two because I'm on the roll here with this. Yeah. Verse 21. Apokatastasis. It's a weird Greek word, but it is just what it is. And if I look at this, again it says, here, from another dictionary, it says, the return to normal. Restitution and the return. In the Hebrew, the word repent, is in my bietjie van 'n makliker woord om te onthou. The word repent is shuv. Shuv. Okay? Yom shuv. Today, return to God. Whenever you talk in the context of God, you say, Yom Shuv, today, Yom Shuv, return to God. When you return to God, you return to what is normal for you. Let me tell you something. And I have to say this to you. I've done some years in my life with psychology. And we ended off with having to write quite extensive documents on the subject of what is normality? Because they're full of definitions. But what is normality? And I sat as a student and I had to write now, when is somebody now normal? When is a person that comes and sits in front of you, when is their lives normal? When is it normal? And then they had all these schools, Freud, Skinner, Pavlov, Horney, Karn, Horney, and the like. And all the theories of personality. And now, but now in view of all these theories of personality, what do you say? What is normal? Now the professor sit with us. Then I have a meeting with God. Poof. What was that? What is normal? Poof. On my knees, weeping and crying, in remorse, repenting of sin, turning everything upside down in my life. I knew that the time of the crossroad of my life had come. I knew I had to make a choice to serve God or to walk away like the rest of the world that rather do cycling on a Sunday or any other sport. That do not fear the Lord. When I was a child, we didn't have sport on Sundays. We just didn't have it. You had to honor the day of the Lord. Now they honor nothing. They don't even honor each other. I knew when this huge encounter of my life began, and after that, visions, amazing stuff. I could write a book on just that. Then when that happened, I opened up this book. The first one fell apart. It went to bits. Then I got a second one, and the kids wanted that Bible. because it was full of writing and full of stuff. Then I had a third one and a fourth one. Went through it, and I said, back to university, now what is normal, Jock? Christ is our example of what is normal. Jesus is the man of men, of mankind. He is, like the book of Luke, the perfect man. When you assess anybody's conduct, before you start with a string of psychological definitions like we were taught and all that sort of stuff, when you read this book, you discover a man called Jesus Christ. You change your life. You follow him. He said, I have given you an example that you should follow. I am. The way, the truth, the life. No man comes to God the Father except through me, he said. You want to have a normal life. There's an old Pentecostal song, I tell you, and it says this. Just talk about Jesus. There's a song called We Speak Jesus, the great Redeemer, the great I Am. He's the Savior of my soul. We sang that song and sang that song. He's the Savior of my soul. We used to sing these songs till the anointing caught you. You know, there's a big difference between the old Pentecostals and the new ones. New ones sing a song and go to a second song. In the old Pentecostal songs, huh, Johnny? Jy sing om tot die wiele wil afkom. And they catch it. Oh, send a new touch of fire to my soul, Lord. Send it now, Lord, send it now. And you sing them, and you sing them, and you sing them, until that becomes your system. And you make a connection with God. Bang, there we are. Can you say amen? Amen. So just by introduction, I want to tell you that normal is returning to Christ-likeness. Normal is accessing the mind of Christ for each situation of your life. Normal is a marriage filled with Jesus Christ as the centerpiece, because if the Lord... if the Lord does not build the house, they labor in vain. That's abnormal, my friend. That's where the life begins in Jesus. That's, for me, repent, be converted, since blotted out, repent and be baptized. Boom! Now comes life. And fruitfulness. So, the result was this. I took every postgraduate book and gave it away. Just gave it away. Didn't want to know about it. Because I found out what they were looking for at university and couldn't find. Just a bunch of theories, tentative generalizations of which the validity had to be proved. And if it's not authenticated, then they start all over again. And have another postulation. Or another hypothesis. And so we go on and on and on and on. And then you measure that statistically. Maybe it's so, maybe it's not so. Well, we had a sample of so many students and so many people that participated in this sample, and that didn't, the average and the norm and all of that stuff. But I found a book. I read it 3 times in 6 weeks, the New Testament. But didn't read it, studied it. This one I've not read, written into. It's such a beautiful Bible, this particular. But you know, when you get a hold of it, the papers start loosening up. You get a hold of it, you write about everything. You feel like you want to align every single sentence. Ever had that? Do you ever have that? You're sitting with a Coke pen or something. You want to just underline everything. All the things important through every page. You gaan net aan. Eventually you got a yellow book or a green book or something. And then you said, now what was important? You say, okay, Lord, you want to see my Bible? It's a color scheme. You know, it's like, wow. You take this book in. It hits you here and it hits you here. And then it hits you physically. You don't see what the Greek says. You know, just my mind was, I scan in my mind the Bible. So I scan towards Romans 8. And I thought, dear Lord Jesus, it says this and it says that and it says that there in the Greek. Now go there and I read that again. And I realized, Lord, we sit with abnormal financial systems because of corruption, because not being born again, not saved, not filled with Holy Spirit, not baptized, not nothing. We sit with marriages that go bust because they never made the Lord the centerpiece of their lives. Maud and I had a marriage like any other marriage before we got born again. But when we both got born again and baptized, we had marriage. Sy stout hiervoor. Sy sê, amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Then we have marriage. Oh, somebody comes, yes, pastor, our marriage is like this and that and the other. Did you read the Bible? No, not really. One guy comes running in. This is one of the funny ones. He comes running in there and he says, help. And I said, help with what? He says, my wife is hitting me. She's chasing me every day. Help. Now, she was like a kind of a Philistine female, I think, that one. Help. All right. Why don't you stand your man? He says, no, I hide under my bed. I crawl in there. Then she gets her brothers. And they pull me out and I get it three ways. Then another couple comes to me and says, pastor, you know, we've got this marriage problem, this, that, the other. Give them scriptures. I just give scriptures all days. I quote scriptures. Right. Okay, there. Now go home, do the following homework to get your marriage normal. Everybody say normal. That place, that normal is actually a very powerful word in the both Greek and Hebrew. It's returned to the divine mission and destiny. Normal. 6 weeks later, they come down and said, now, what did you do about the things I told you to do in the meantime? Oh, we didn't really have time to do that. I said, goodbye. Counseling's over. You will not worry, I'm you fool. Because what does it help you if you tell somebody the way, the truth, and the life? And they walk out, and 6 weeks later, they come here and they say, what's for what? And you talk to people, and they don't hear you. I find that very, very interesting in the modern day. Very interesting. They don't listen. They don't listen. De kelene foshe khatavola kenesta sekhetavila Adonai Elohim Tzevaot yesekifra kelena shakhatama. The whole Bible tells you that you can be restored to God's normal intent or intention for your life. It is a process to engage in. Let me go through that list and I close with this. How many of you would like to see the salvation of your own soul and the restoration of your mind to the mind of Christ and good health? Beautiful scriptures there. Your fortunes, your finances, everything to be restored. Let me see your hands. Okay. Your family life to be normal. Your marriage, normal. Your relationship with God, normal. That's the most powerful one of the lot. Begins there. Restoration from storms of life, but you now return to normal. Your feet are on solid ground. Jesus is around with you. And so it goes on. I can say all these things and more, but I haven't even begun because I haven't spoken into the Greek yet. Actually, when you speak, there's a lot of revelation because Greek is just that more. You know, I'm saying this, that if you can speak Greek, every other language is easy. It's just like that. Every other language is just easy because Greek is that complex. But God chose Greek for the New Testament. So it gives it like extra power to all the rest of all the world when the Messiah speaks to you. Can you say, stand to your feet, give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to just say these words from, not the whole song, just part of it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And he restores my soul. Say it again. He restores my soul. God's working on you. He's definitely working on all of us. Can you say amen? Give him another praise offering like that. Amen. Now, after the church service, the pastors are going to be in the front to pray for whoever have whatever need. The pastors are here. Tonight, I continue on this exact topic at 6 o'clock. And I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, will be here and the anointing will break the yoke. Yokes. Should I say yokes? Amen. Do you believe that? How many of you say amen? Amen. Raise your hands. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and to keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. Grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.